Truth is that they will be doing quite sufficient if they have patience and persevere in prayer without doing anything.
Hello, this is Liliana.
I'm Danaya.
And I'm Badila.
And we're from Perfect 10 After School,
a wonderful club for girls in Hudson, New York.
And you are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM ACRA.
Community radio for Columbia and Greene counties.
Perfect 10 girls got it going on.
Oh, yeah.
Cap District, what's going on? It's your main man, DJ Ketchup, and I'm here to let you know, coming to Hudson Hall Saturday, February 8th, is Hudson's biggest night of fashion. It's the second annual Forever Young Fashion Show, and it's featuring 7-plus local designers, boutiques, 50-plus models, dance performances, DJs, pop-up shops, and more. This is all presented by Stitch, making fashion matter, all to benefit the Greater Hudson Promise neighborhood, sponsored by Columbia Memorial Health and Kohl's. All produced by Hudson's own Mel Mayus. Tickets are on sale now at stitchedny.com. That is stitchedny.com. We totally catch up.
Find out where the music takes Montreal's Rachel Therrien on the next Deep Threes, when the trumpeter blows the roof off the joint, backed by her quintet. Plus tracks from Reza Bassi, Isotope 217, and Oleg Zaler. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alfdermar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. The Times Union reports that there have been 10,000 reported cases of the flu in New York as of January 4th, much more than the 3,000 reported at this point in 2017. Almost 2,000 New Yorkers were hospitalized with influenza in the first week of the year, up 34% from the end of 2019. Officials called the flu prevalent in December, and healthcare workers who are not vaccinated must now wear surgical or procedure masks. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper. The town of Kinderhook is now under the direction of Patsy Leader, its first female town supervisor. Town clerk Kim Pinkowski noted there are now more women than men serving on the Kinderhook Town Board. Pinkowski said of the women at the board's table, and I quote, "There are four of us up here. This is going to be a great board," end quote. She later added, and I quote, "It's refreshing to have more women than men," end quote. At the January 6th meeting, Leader appointed Deborah Johnson to fill her former seat during the coming year. Leader said she was honored to be elected to the position, and I quote, as a community person, end quote, and that she hoped the community would work together. The board reappointed Laureen Dawes for a full term on the Zoning Board of Appeals and Jonathan Cavagnaro for a full term on the Planning Board. Frank Gutto was appointed to the Board of Assessment Review. Former town board member Glenn Smith was named substitute building inspector. And Andy Howard will stay on as town attorney and attorney for the Planning Board and ZBA. The board also changed the time of its regular board meetings from 7 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. on the first Monday of the month. And you can read the full story in the Columbia paper.
Jeanette Wolfberg reports for the Columbia paper that there's been a bit of shuffling jobs among school and business administrators in Columbia County. Hudson Schools Administrator Sharifa Carbon is moving to New Paltz as Assistant Superintendent for Business in the school district there. Jesse Boehm, Business Administrator of the Germantown Central School District, will take her place in Hudson. That leaves Germantown with an empty seat. Carbon's departure is the fifth mid-year turnover in a major administrative position in the Hudson City School District. The city schools have lost high school principal Antonio Abital, replaced by Administrator Robert Lacoste. He was replaced by William Wood. Junior high associate principal Alyssa Sabatino was replaced by Sean Briscoe. And elementary school associate principal Lisa Rood was replaced by Amanda Kloppet. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
Amanda Purcell is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson has named his aide, Michael Chimides, to serve as the city's coordinator for matters related to the Americans with Disabilities Act. Common Council President Thomas DiPietro made the announcement at the January 13th meeting of the Common Council. Chimides will be paid $5,000 in addition to his $30,000 salary as mayor's aide for the extra duties. Funds were set aside as part of the contingency budget during budget talks last year. Chimides said, and I quote, "I want to create a shared culture and commitment to accessibility. We need all City of Hudson departments to be aware of opportunities to improve and actively contribute to solutions," end quote. The ADA prohibits discrimination against individuals with disabilities in public spaces, including jobs, schools, transportation, and all public and private places that are open to the general public. Under the ADA, public entities with 50 or more employees must designate an employee to coordinate compliance. Editor's note, DiPietro is an active volunteer WGXE programmer. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that after a fatal crash in 2011 and a non-fatal accident in 2016, the entrance to the Cara-Durham schools on Route 145 are getting signs to slow down drivers. Local officials wanted a turn lane or more efforts to slow down drivers. Quote, "This is not the solution we hoped for, but it is a solution," unquote, Cara legislator Harry Lennon said. Cara legislator William Lawrence used to teach at the school. Quote, "The Department of Transportation did not feel there were enough accidents there to warrant a turning lane," unquote, he said. After the 2011 accident, the DOT did lower the speed limit from 55 to 45 miles per hour and eliminate the passing lane in front of the school. Now they are getting signs that show drivers how fast they are moving. DOT studies of the road in 2015 showed between 4,000 and 10,000 drivers passing the school each day. Of those, about 15% go faster than 58 miles per hour. The speed signs will be installed in the spring, but don't remedy the blind spot on the north side of the intersection. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
MidHudsonNews.com is reporting Allegiant Air has announced it is adding two more nonstop destinations from New York Stewart International Airport beginning on May 20th. The airline will operate two weekly flights to Savannah, Georgia and Hilton Head, South Carolina. Following day, May 21st, the airport will start twice weekly nonstop flights to Walton Beach, Florida. Allegiant currently flies from Stewart to four locations, one in South Carolina and four in Florida. Drew Wells, Allegiant Vice President of Planning and Revenue, said, and I quote, "We know area travelers will enjoy ultra-low-cost, convenient nonstop flights to visit the beautiful beaches," end quote. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Chad Arnold reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that Dutchess County Sheriff Butch Anderson was among six elected officials announced January 15th named honorary state chairs for President Donald Trump's reelection team in New York State. Upstate New York Congressperson Elise Stefanik was also named as one of the honorary leaders of the state campaign. Stefanik defended the president during some of the U.S. House impeachment hearings in December. Anderson did the same job advising the campaign in 2016. Quote, "What I did was I spoke at different events around the state," unquote, Anderson said. Quote, "I assume I'll be doing the same thing. It's nothing spectacular or anything like that. It's just I'm an honorary member. I was 4 years ago, and I'll be there again this year," unquote. Trump is the presumed Republican nominee for president, but could be removed from office if convicted in the U.S. Senate trial that begins January 21st. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal.
Rebecca Carballo is reporting for the Times Union. Dozens of people rallied at the state capitol January 14th in support of the Protect Our Courts Act legislation that would forbid U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement arrests without judicial warrant in or around courthouses in the state of New York. The rally was organized by the Immigrant Defense Project. State Senator Brad Holliman, a Manhattan Democrat, and Assembly Member Michelle Salagas, a Democrat from Elmar, are the bill's lead sponsors. The bill was put up at the end of the 2017 legislative session, and Salagas said they spent time last year garnering support for the bill. She is confident it will pass this year. Salagas told the Times Union, and I quote, "At the end of the day, this is the year. I can't look at what happened last year. We have to look forward and believe we can get this done," end quote. Read the full story in the Times Union.
On January 15th, both Hudson Valley Democrats Paul Tonko and Antonio Delgado voted to move the impeachment to a trial in the U.S. Senate. Tonko, who represents the 20th Congressional District, and Delgado, who represents the 19th District, both also voted for the two articles of impeachment in December. The vote to send impeachment to the Senate was 228 to 193, almost entirely on party lines. The Senate trial will start on January 21st.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, a chance of rain and snow, mainly before 2 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a high near 40 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low of around 12 degrees, but wind chill values will be as low as minus 1 degree. And on Friday, sunny with a high near 21 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 6 degrees. And that's your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties. To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Thursday, January 16th, the Zoning Board of Appeals of the Village of Philmont holds a public hearing to consider the application for an area variance by MEKN Holding Corporation for yard setbacks for a proposed subdivision of the property at 11 Elm Street, Philmont. Meeting held at 7 p.m. at Philmont Town Hall on Main Street. On Friday, January 17th, Dahlia Zedek, Hazel Atlas, Madeline Derby, and Peter Aaron perform at Tubby's in Kingston, starting at 8:30 p.m. For several decades, the Capital District-based Mark Gamsjager and the Luster Kings have been keeping the sound of early rockabilly alive. The Luster Kings are expected to be joined by other members of the region's rock and roll revival scene at the Elvis Birthday Bash at Club Helsinki in Hudson, starting at 9 p.m. On Saturday, January 18th, Rick and Marilyn perform at the Hudson Underground on Warren Street at 7:30. Celebrating 25 years, Bindlestiff's NYC Winter Cabaret season has provided a stage for circus, sideshow, vaudeville, burlesque, and variety entertainment. The Bindlestiff Family Circus Winter Cabaret returns to Hudson with this adult show at Club Helsinki starting at 9 p.m. On Saturday, January 19th, the Catalina Chamber Choir performs at Trinity Church's annual Martin Luther King Jr. Concert with tribute to Elijah Cummings. The Urban Choral Arts Society from Baltimore also performs, held at 88 Walker Street in Lenox, Massachusetts, starting at 3 p.m. That's it for this week's WGXC Community Calendar. You can add your own event and hear it right here on the radio by visiting wgxc.org/calendar.
Hello and welcome to the better weather. Today will be dry with mostly blue skies, the opposite of what it will be doing tomorrow. Get those last minute supplies while you can. Go early and avoid that fist fight over the last snow shovel. Today's going to start out cold at about 13 degrees at dawn and rise to 22 by 2 p.m. Cloud cover will be low and the wind will be brisk. So bring your sunglasses, winter coats, and don't forget gloves and hats to protect that exposed skin. Overnight, let those tabs drift if you are so inclined. Temperatures will drop to 8 degrees just before dawn. Saturday will be for snowmobilers, sledders, skiers, snowboarders, and all the various snow lovers out there. As a warm front moves through the area, temperatures will rise from single digits to 27 at dusk and keep on going to the mid-30s overnight. As this warm front moves in, the snow will begin. Light snow is expected to start around 10 a.m. It will slowly intensify into the afternoon with almost 3 inches to fall by dark, with another 1 to 2 inches coming down overnight. Sunday will have a high in the mid-30s as very light snow continues to fall through the day. Next week, the cold will be sticking around, most likely keeping us from breaking through the freezing point. Looking way up, we see 6 near-Earth objects expected today, the largest of which is 302 meters wide, traveling at 17 meters per second. That's enough to easily destroy an average city. Solar wind speed is currently 325 kilometers per second at 3.9 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 1, quiet. There have been 6 days since the last sunspot, and this has been the better weather brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. Whether you're hunkering down or getting out for some adventure, enjoy the weekend.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tammy Dillon of Germantown, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I've always wanted a ham radio set, and now that I've got one, I'm going to listen in on distress signals and notify the authorities and prevent disasters and noble things like that. Calling CQ. Calling CQ. Come in, please.
You are listening to WGXC.
Tune in at 6 p.m.
and at 7 o'clock a.m.
For all together now.
For local news.
The weather and school closing.
For interview with neighbors and friends.
And you might even hear us.
The Campaign Medium group on
Together Now!
At 7 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m.
on 90.7 FM.
And WJXC.org.
Hello, this is Rob Gillis with This Month in History, a chronicle of significant or infamous events in art, science, music, literature, sports, and more that occurred this month either in the near or distant past. On January 17, 1773, the ship Resolution became the first vessel to cross the Antarctic Circle. On January 19, 1966, Indira Gandhi was elected Prime Minister of India. She was the first woman to serve as Prime Minister. On January 21, 1976, the French supersonic jet, the Concorde, began service with flights from London to Bahrain and Paris to Rio de Janeiro. On January 23, 1849, Elizabeth Blackwell was awarded her M.D. diploma, becoming America's first woman doctor. On January 25, 1961, President John F. Kennedy conducted the first live televised presidential news conference. On January 28, 1915, the U.S. Coast Guard was created by an act of Congress. On January 31, 1919, Jackie Robinson was born in Cairo, Georgia. He was the first African American to play professional baseball. He played for the Brooklyn Dodgers from 1947 to 1956. You've been listening to This Month in History, a monthly broadcast of historic events on WGXC 90.7 FM. If you have an event that you'd like to hear included in This Month in History, email me, Rob Gillis, at info@wgxc.org.
That was Matmos with Mental Radio from their 2013 album, The Marriage of True Minds.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
A Senate trial is expected to keep you in Washington in the weeks leading up to the Iowa caucuses here. How big of a problem is that for you as you're making your closing pitch to voters here?
Look, some things are more important than politics.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren is one of four Democrats running for president tied up in Washington for the Senate impeachment trial of President Donald Trump, along with Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, Bernie Sanders of Vermont, and Michael Bennett of Colorado. Here's Bennett.
Those of us that are running have to make sure we fulfill our responsibilities, our constitutional responsibilities back in Washington at the same time, and I think we can.
Professor of political science at Iowa State, Dirk Diem, says the trial won't necessarily be bad for the campaigns. The senators will get lots of press after each session. But with the upcoming Iowa caucuses and New Hampshire primaries,
it does leave the other candidates free rein to campaign.
The president himself will be in the Hawkeye State Monday night for a campaign rally. His Republican primary challengers have also been campaigning in Iowa and New Hampshire, former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld, and here's former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh.
It's our goal to have people wake up the day after Iowa and say, oh my God, that's interesting. Joe Walsh did pretty well in Iowa. There is a race.
Yesterday, Walsh's complaints about the 10 states that canceled their Republican primaries, most recently Wisconsin, were ignored again, this time in person at the Republican National Committee's headquarters.
Here's what's weird and just wrong. I'm a lifelong Republican. I'm a former Republican congressman. I'm a Republican candidate for president, and here I was today at Republican headquarters in D.C. to talk about the disenfranchisement of Republican voters, and nobody here would talk to me.
Meanwhile, just before the trial opened, the Senate passed the new NAFTA, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, the day after President Trump signed Phase 1 of a trade deal with China. Warren and Klobuchar gave their rationales for voting for the USMCA on this week's debate stage.
It will give some relief to our farmers. It will give some relief to our workers. I believe we accept that relief. We try to help the people who need help. And we get up the next day and fight for a better trade deal.
These are real people hurt by Donald Trump's trade war.
Sanders joined 10 other senators who voted against incremental change in trade policy, including three former 2020 presidential candidates, Kamala Harris of California, Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, and Cory Booker of New Jersey.
We could do much better than a Trump-led trade deal. This deal, and I think the proponents of it acknowledge, will result in the continuation of the loss of hundreds of thousands of good-paying jobs as a result of outsourcing.
Plus, he says, it doesn't mention the words climate change. From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.
Starting Tuesday, January 21st, WGXC will air the impeachment trial in the U.S. Senate. The trial is expected to run from 1 p.m. on Monday through Saturday, unless senators vote to change the rules. WGXC will air Pacifica Radio's national feed of the trial of Donald Trump as impeachment goes before the U.S. Senate beginning Tuesday, January 21st, live on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Willie Terry, your Roman labor correspondent for the Hudson Mohawk Network. On January the 14th, I was in the halls of the Empire State Plaza, where the New York State Poor People Campaign, along with other organizations, kicked off their year legislative session with mass action in Albany to raise their voices and bring their demands to elected leaders. In the following segment, you will hear voices from that mass action.
Poor People's Campaign. We want to start by acknowledging that we are here on stolen land.
Yes.
This land belonged to the Mohican people, and it was taken from them and so many by settler colonialism and ongoing racism and genocide. We're going to hear from a number of directly impacted speakers from all over the state today, and so I want to get us started. We are here today because our government has a duty to work to guarantee the well-being of the people of New York. Last week, the governor delivered his State of the State address, which once again largely ignored the suffering of millions of New Yorkers. And once again, is prioritizing profits over people.
That ain't right.
While the governor offered platitudes and rhetoric, he failed to provide details for how his budget will meaningfully address the plights of those who lack access to health care and housing. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is trying to take our country into another war in the Middle East, which is guaranteed to destroy lives and waste resources.
That's not right.
We are here today to say that we want our state to put people's needs over corporate greed. Everybody has the right to live. Yet here in New York, one of the most so-called progressive states in the country, laws and budgets for too long have favored billionaires and the wealthy at the expense of us, the poor and working class people of this state. New York has more billionaires and millionaires than any other state. Our state has 112 billionaires and 529,000 millionaires.
Wow.
This is not a coincidence, because while a minority of New Yorkers are amassing unimaginable wealth, the vast majority of our people are living in a state of emergency.
50.5% of New Yorkers are poor or low income.
More than 1 million New Yorkers are without health insurance, and millions more have plans that would bankrupt them when faced with a medical emergency.
More than half of low-income tenants are currently paying more than 50% of their income in rent. That's a shame.
Any given night, more than 92,000 New Yorkers are homeless.
My name is Sarah Palmer, and I traveled all the way from Buffalo, New York today because I'm pissed. Who else is here showing symptoms of being pissed? Private insurance-induced stress disorder? Yeah. Why am I pissed? I'm pissed because the real estate industry and the private insurance companies are looking like I have been uninsured and underinsured, with private insurance companies deeming necessary tests, treatments, and medications as elective or unnecessary. I suffer from an illness known as bipolar disorder, and it has been a long road since 2003 battling with insurance companies for the treatment that I need.
That's right.
I have struggled to find treatment by providers and networks, delaying treatment and medication therapy due to my inability to pay. I've also had lapses in my insurance due to job loss during periods of illness. In the beginning of September 2019, I had a psychotic break, which left me spiraling back in the poverty gap. I went on a medical leave of absence without pay from work while I tried to go inpatient for my mental health for the fifth time in my life. But I was denied due to the out-of-network cost of $500 that I could not pay, delaying treatment with my counselor until September and delaying treatment with my doctor until mid-October. I struggled for 2 months with co-pays without income. The delays in my treatment simultaneously delaying my New York State disability, which got approved in November, but not before I had to start a Facebook fundraiser to cover my rent, utilities, food, and any other thing else that I needed.
That ain't right.
Luckily, before I had financial hardship, my landlord is working with me, but I know others in my community and my situation who are less fortunate, especially those like me, out of work, waiting for SSI or Social Security disability to slightly ease the insecurities. I have been waiting since October 1st.
That's not right.
In December of 2019, and the delays in treatment due to the inefficiency and greed of private insurance companies, which put me over the 12-week mark for protections under FMLA, leaving me even more shelter and food insecure. And I wonder, despite my landlord being a good and gracious landlord, how long will he wait for me? Where do I go when Section 8 waiting lists and subsidized housing waiting lists are currently closed? What will happen to me as a single mother and my three children? The New York State Constitution states, when it comes to public health, the protection and promotion of the health of the inhabitants of the state are matters of public concern.
Yes. That's right.
And provision, therefore, shall be made by the state and by such of its subdivisions and in such manner and by such means as the legislature shall from time to time determine. Well, that time to determine is now.
Yes.
Yeah. We are hurting in the streets, scraping by while the real estate and the insurance companies and the lobbyists are lighting their pockets. With a Democratic majority for the second year in a row, we shouldn't have to fight this, huh?